This is Packer and Durham on ACCM and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Grace Rayner to break down Clemson and Iowa State. You get that game later this afternoon. And then Kenny Brooks, the outstanding women's basketball coach at Virginia Tech, will join us coming up here in about a half an hour. All right, Kelly, before we get cranked up with some basketball from last night, because there was a game with Notre Dame and Pittsburgh, let's take a quick phone call. Again, we're out here today for NC State fans. We left the show talking about how really just devastating the news was yesterday where, hey, you're ready for a game, and should have been a terrific game between NC State and UCLA a couple hours before kick. Does not happen. COVID gets the Bruins. NC State's looking around going, hey, can we play somebody? They're frantically trying to find somebody to play out the Holiday Bowl or maybe somewhere else. Who knows how this thing's going to work out given how crazy COVID has been. So stay tuned for that information if it changes. But we are going to take some phone calls today from NC State fans, because if you just need to vent, we're here for you. 844-SAY-ACCN. And with that said, Keith in North Carolina has been holding patiently. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kelly and Mark. Man, let me tell you, you said I could call in and vent. Well, yep. I got a vent, and then I got a question. You know, getting ready yesterday, tailgating, backyard tailgating, ribs on the grill, hot wings, beer in the cooler. Guess what? Canceled. Boy, was I hot. But, you know, it's almost like scenario. You wait all year for Christmas, and when you're little and you know you're just going to get that present under the tree, and you wake up that morning, and guess what? That present's not under that tree. So, but my question is, guys, if by some chance, a miracle, they can find a replacement, do they look for someone in the same conference as they were going to play in the Pac-12, or can it be just anybody who volunteers by the record they have, or could they get someone like on the West Coast, maybe like Washington State, to come play? I'll just hang up and just didn't know, and let you guys respond. Just didn't know how they look, you know, for another appointment if they just maybe get the first volunteer that wants to come out and play. Thanks. Thank you for letting me for my phone call.
You got it, Keith. Appreciate that. The good news, at least, you still had good ribs, wings, and cold beer, even though that was a bummer yesterday. Here's how it works. You know what? It does not have to be from the Pac-12. Matter of fact, you're just looking for somebody with a pulse who can put together a team. And, Kelly, this is the hard part, right? You got almost everybody and their brother who did not get to a bowl. They dispersed. You got kids going, away for the holidays. Teams are all over the place. Coaches are out there trying to figure out what their staff or recruiting looks like. So that eliminates the vast majority of teams. You got a bunch of folks that have already played in bowl games. It can't be Washington State because, ironically, because of Miami's COVID issue, they found another team based on another issue at another bowl game. So this is like 15 balls are in the air. If you're Boo Corrigan, you're Dave Dorn, you're the ACC, you're the Holiday Bowl. You're just looking for any opportunity, and you know they're scouring all over the country just saying, hey, are you available? Could we play a game? Could you make it out to San Diego? I mean, you try to exhaust every opportunity known to man, and this is what's so difficult and why NC State's in a tough spot trying to find somebody.
Yes, Pack, exactly. And, you know, it happened right before the game. As Keith said, so many people already cooked their wings and their ribs. It happened that close to game time. And that's where, in a weird way, you've got to tip your hat to a team like Texas A&M, who said, look, basically a week and a half before the game, we can't play. Before Christmas, they said, we can't play. So it gives the Gator Bowl, the ACC, Wake Forest, all these entities, it gives them time to find someone. And shout out to Rutgers, who stepped up and said, you know what, we're going to play. But when you cancel day of, there's just no way to find a replacement and play that game when it's supposed to be played. So that's why we showed the Dave Doran's comments earlier in the day. That's why he's so frustrated, because according to him, he didn't receive any word that UCLA was struggling. And you assume that maybe every team has a couple COVID positives, but to have that kind of issue where your entire D-line is decimated, it seemed that NC State had no clue. And so you don't give the people whose job it is to fix these issues time to fix it. So in a weird way, you got to tip your cap to Texas A&M, who did give you time to fix it if you're Wake Forest.
Well, here's the other thing, too. When you're looking for another opponent, you know, you got a couple games today, so that eliminates these teams. You have a number of teams that are playing Thursday. That eliminates all of those teams, unless something happens this afternoon, and guess what? COVID gets somebody, and the team goes, well, man, we were ready to play in the dogatemyhomework.com bowl. NC State needs a partner. Maybe we can make that work. You're almost looking, unfortunately, for misfortune elsewhere in these bowls to maybe tie in somebody. And you know, I think the further we go, most of these teams, I would assume, have at least gotten past the holiday visits with the families, with the players, and they've come back, and I know they're being tested left and right. So I think it makes it even more difficult to maybe find somebody moving forward. Now, granted, we've got bowl games up and above the college football playoffs on Friday. We got games next week. So, I mean, if you had a situation where the, I'm just going to use an example, Kansas State LSU game for next week, that something goes haywire with one of those teams, maybe if you found out today, hey, you know, we got some COVID issues, we might not be able to go. Maybe there's a way to finagle, well, you know, we're available to play out here in California. So again, it's a mess. There is nothing straight line about this from A to Z. And again, I hate it for Boo Corrigan. I hate it for the ACC. I hate it for those players. I hate it for the fans that have spent all that money to go to a great spot in San Diego and not have a chance to see the game. It's the worst. Stinks.
Right. I also hate it for the UCLA players. You know, we got to mention that too. I saw Dorian Thompson Robinson. He tweeted out and said, look, it was up to the players. We wanted to play. He responded to one of the NC State guys. So you also have the UCLA players. I think the vast majority of them wanted to play as well, Pac. It just stinks for everyone involved.
All right. Real quickly, I do want to get a couple things in. I know we have not addressed the Louisville Air Force game. We will do that. Grace Renner's coming up and Kenny Brooks. But we did have some basketball last night. And I know we just had Jeff Capel on the show. I don't know what's going on with Pittsburgh. They are 0-2 in the league. They've lost both games by a single point, basically on a last-second shot. And Notre Dame last night, Kelly, well, Prentice Hubb, who has not been able to throw it in the ocean, got hot in the second half. He made a couple threes back-to-back, and then he makes a little fadeaway there. Bang, catch you later. This was a big, big win for Notre Dame.
That was a gorgeous shot. What a beautiful fadeaway from Prentice Hubb. And you can get hot down the stretch. Doesn't matter how you shot in the first half. And here's the thing with Notre Dame, and we've talked about it, Pac. If you get in a who can make more shots kind of game with Notre Dame, you're going to lose. If it becomes a shooting contest, you're going to lose. Notre Dame can shoot the lights out. They were 16 of 17 from the free throw line. They made 10 threes. Very few teams can shoot the ball like that. Now, we know Notre Dame, not necessarily great defensively, and they have a few other weaknesses, but they can shoot, and that's what happened. I think it became that kind of game where Pitt only made 5 threes. Notre Dame gets it done because they shoot the rock. 10 threes for them is nothing, and they get it done. And this is a big win for Notre Dame because you avoid a game that would have been a tough loss on the road when you look at Pittsburgh's net rankings. And then you look at Pitt, they've got some guys. They've got some players. But it feels like right now they're just finding ways to lose games. And the confidence is not very high for this Panther team.
Here's the other thing. We, unlike the women, right, the ladies are loaded in the top 25. We'll talk to Kenny Brooks, who's, by the way, not in the top 25, but will be. The ladies in the league are doing the job. They're getting the job done. We're not having the same conversation we're having with the men. The deal with the guys, who can get hot? Who can now start stringing together a couple weeks of wins? Notre Dame, this is why this game was so critical for the Irish. They're now on a three-game winning streak. They're the kind of team, Kelly, as you pointed out, can make shots and be bothersome, right? When they make shots, they're a tough out. They're now 1-1 in the league. They're on a three-game winning streak. Keep an eye on Notre Dame. They got off to a sluggish, slow start. We've kind of been waiting on them because Braves teams are kind of old. When they're old, they're normally really good. Keep an eye on Notre Dame. That game was humongous for Mike Bray last night. And for Pitt, like I said, tough losses. The Virginia game, they really should have closed it out in Charlottesville. Kind of unlucky to lose by one. Same deal last night. They were up 8 midway through the second half. Could not close the deal. So Pitt's got work to do. But for Notre Dame, maybe this is a spark to go on one of those runs. That's what we're going to be talking about with the men. I mean, we know about Duke. But everybody else, who can start stringing together week after week after week?
the Packer and Durham podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Grace Rayner to break down Clemson and Iowa State. You get that game later this afternoon. And then Kenny Brooks, the outstanding women's basketball coach at Virginia Tech, will join us coming up here in about a half an hour. All right, Kelly, before we get cranked up with some basketball from last night, because there was a game with Notre Dame and Pittsburgh, let's take a quick phone call. Again, we're out here today for NC State fans. We left the show talking about how really just devastating the news was yesterday where, hey, you're ready for a game, and should have been a terrific game between NC State and UCLA a couple hours before kick. Does not happen. COVID gets the Bruins. NC State's looking around going, hey, can we play somebody? They're frantically trying to find somebody to play out the Holiday Bowl or maybe somewhere else. Who knows how this thing's going to work out given how crazy COVID has been. So stay tuned for that information if it changes. But we are going to take some phone calls today from NC State fans, because if you just need to vent, we're here for you. 844-SAY-ACCN. And with that said, Keith in North Carolina has been holding patiently. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kelly and Mark. Man, let me tell you, you said I could call in and vent. Well, yep. I got a vent, and then I got a question. You know, getting ready yesterday, tailgating, backyard tailgating, ribs on the grill, hot wings, beer in the cooler. Guess what? Canceled. Boy, was I hot. But, you know, it's almost like scenario. You wait all year for Christmas, and when you're little and you know you're just going to get that present under the tree, and you wake up that morning, and guess what? That present's not under that tree. So, but my question is, guys, if by some chance, a miracle, they can find a replacement, do they look for someone in the same conference as they were going to play in the Pac-12? Or can it be just anybody who volunteers by the record they have? Or could they get someone like on the West Coast, maybe like Washington State, to come play? I'll just hang up and just didn't know, I'll let you guys respond. Just didn't know how they look, you know, for another appointment if they just maybe get the first volunteer that wants to come out and play. Thanks. Thank you for letting me for my phone call.
You got it, Keith. Appreciate that. The good news, at least, you still had good ribs, wings, and cold beer, even though that was a bummer yesterday. Here's how it works. You know what? It does not have to be from the Pac-12. Matter of fact, you're just looking for somebody with a pulse who can put together a team. And, Kelly, this is the hard part. Right, you got almost everybody and their brother who did not get to a bowl. They dispersed. You got kids going, away for the holidays. Teams are all over the place. Coaches are out there trying to figure out what their staff or recruiting looks like. So that eliminates the vast majority of teams. You got a bunch of folks that have already played in bowl games. It can't be Washington State because, ironically, because of Miami's COVID issue, they found another team based on another issue at another bowl game. So this is like 15 balls are in the air. If you're Boo Corrigan, you're Dave Dorn, you're the ACC, you're the Holiday Bowl, you're just looking for any opportunity, and you know they're scouring all over the country just saying, hey, are you available? Could we play a game? Could you make it out to San Diego? I mean, you try to exhaust every opportunity known to man, and this is what's so difficult and why NC State's in a tough spot trying to find somebody.
Yes, Pack, exactly. And, you know, it happened right before the game. As Keith said, so many people already cooked their wings and their ribs. It happened that close to game time. And that's where, in a weird way, you've got to tip your hat to a team like Texas A&M, who said, look, basically a week and a half before the game, we can't play. Before Christmas, they said, we can't play. So it gives the Gator Bowl, the ACC, Wake Forest, all these entities, it gives them time to find someone. And shout out to Rutgers, who stepped up and said, you know what, we're going to play. But when you cancel day of, there's just no way to find a replacement and play that game when it's supposed to be played. So that's why we showed the Dave Doran's comments earlier in the day. That's why he's so frustrated, because according to him, he didn't receive any word that UCLA was struggling. And you assume that maybe every team has a couple COVID positives, but to have that kind of issue where your entire D-line is decimated, it seems that NC State had no clue. And so you don't give the people whose job it is to fix these issues time to fix it. So in a weird way, you got to tip your cap to Texas A&M, who did give you time to fix it if you're Wake Forest.
Well, here's the other thing, too. When you're looking for another opponent, you know, you got a couple games today, so that eliminates these teams. You have a number of teams that are playing Thursday. That eliminates all of those teams, unless something happens this afternoon, and guess what? COVID gets somebody, and the team goes, well, man, we were ready to play in the dogatemyhomework.com bowl. NC State needs a partner. Maybe we can make that work. You're almost looking, unfortunately, for misfortune elsewhere in these bowls to maybe tie in somebody. And you know, I think the further we go, most of these teams, I would assume, have at least gotten past the holiday visits with the families, with the players, and they've come back, and I know they're being tested left and right. So I think it makes it even more difficult to maybe find somebody moving forward. Now, granted, we've got bowl games up and above the college football playoffs on Friday. We got games next week. So, I mean, if you had a situation where the, I'm just going to use an example, Kansas State LSU game for next week, that something goes haywire with one of those teams, maybe if you found out today, hey, you know, we got some COVID issues, we might not be able to go. Maybe there's a way to finagle, well, you know, we're available to play out here in California. So, again, it's a mess. There is nothing straight line about this from A to Z. And again, I hate it for Boo Corrigan. I hate it for the ACC. I hate it for those players. I hate it for the fans that have spent all that money to go to a great spot in San Diego and not have a chance to see the game. It's the worst. Stinks.
Right. I also hate it for the UCLA players. You know, we got to mention that too. I saw Dorian Thompson Robinson. He tweeted out and said, look, it was up to the players. We wanted to play. He responded to one of the NC State guys. So you also have the UCLA players. I think the vast majority of them wanted to play as well, Pac. It just stinks for everyone involved.
All right. Real quickly, I do want to get a couple things in. I know we have not addressed the Louisville Air Force game. We will do that. Grace Renner is coming up and Kenny Brooks. But we did have some basketball last night. And I know we just had Jeff Capel on the show. I don't know what's going on with Pittsburgh. They are 0-2 in the league. They've lost both games by a single point, basically on a last-second shot. And Notre Dame last night, Kelly, well, Prentice Hubb, who has not been able to throw it in the ocean, got hot in the second half. He made a couple threes back-to-back, and then he makes a little fadeaway there. Bang, catch you later. This was a big, big win for Notre Dame.
That was a gorgeous shot. What a beautiful fadeaway from Prentice Hubb. And you can get hot down the stretch. Doesn't matter how you shot in the first half. And here's the thing with Notre Dame, and we've talked about it, Pac. If you get in a who can make more shots kind of game with Notre Dame, you're going to lose. If it becomes a shooting contest, you're going to lose. Notre Dame can shoot the lights out. They were 16 of 17 from the free throw line. They made 10 threes. Very few teams can shoot the ball like that. Now, we know Notre Dame, not necessarily great defensively, and they have a few other weaknesses, but they can shoot. And that's what happened. I think it became that kind of game where Pitt only made 5 threes. Notre Dame gets it done because they shoot the rock. 10 threes for them is nothing, and they get it done. And this is a big win for Notre Dame because you avoid a game that would have been a tough loss on the road when you look at Pittsburgh's net rankings. And then you look at Pitt, they've got some guys. They've got some players. But it feels like right now they're just finding ways to lose games, and the confidence is not very high for this Panther team.
Here's the other thing. We, unlike the women, right? The ladies are loaded in the top 25. We'll talk to Kenny Brooks, who's, by the way, not in the top 25, but will be. The ladies in the league are doing the job. They're getting the job done. We're not having the same conversation we're having with the men. The deal with the guys, who can get hot? Who can now start stringing together a couple weeks of wins? Notre Dame, this is why this game was so critical for the Irish. They're now on a 3-game winning streak. They're the kind of team, Kelly, as you pointed out, can make shots and be bothersome, right? When they make shots, they're a tough out. They're now 1-1 in the league. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Keep an eye on Notre Dame. They got off to a sluggish, slow start. We've kind of been waiting on them because Braves teams are kind of old. When they're old, they're normally really good. Keep an eye on Notre Dame. That game was humongous for Mike Bray last night. And for Pitt, like I said, tough losses. The Virginia game, they really should have closed it out in Charlottesville. Kind of unlucky to lose by one. Same deal last night. They were up 8 midway through the second half. Could not close the deal. So Pitt's got work to do. But for Notre Dame, maybe this is a spark to go on one of those runs. That's what we're going to be talking about with the men. I mean, we know about Duke. But everybody else, who can start stringing together week after week after week?
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Kelly filling in for Wes, as you well know. Maybe you don't know. Wes has got the COVID bug and hopefully feeling a little bit better. Get him back on his feet. It'd be good to go. But in the meantime, Kelly's rocking it. Kelsey Riggs will join me tomorrow from Atlanta. But Kelly, we're going to switch gears. We go women's basketball right into your expertise. Let's go to Blacksburg. Head coach Kenny Brooks joins us. Coach, always a pleasure seeing you. Happy New Year to you. And man, I tell you what, if you're only as good as your last game, life is pretty good right now, Virginia Tech.
No doubt, Mark. I tell you what, we had a fantastic showing down in Florida against Florida State. Very, very proud of the kids. Great way to send us off into the break. It was actually an early birthday present for me. My birthday was the next day, so nice. Kids came through for us.
There's nothing better than getting a big win like that going into Christmas. Everyone can have a great Christmas. You don't want a loss before that. But, Coach, let's talk about Liz Kitley. I hate to say this, Pack, but you know what? I'm going to throw it out there. I was one of the few that voted Liz Kitley preseason player of the year, and she's making me look great, Coach, I got to admit. What have you seen from Liz going from last year into this year? And, I mean, did you expect her to be this dominant so far this season?
Absolutely, Kelly. She's matured, you know, beyond her years. And the year she had last year was unbelievable in itself, because just imagine doing this job that you're doing right now, and you got two and three people in your ear talking to you, trying to prevent you from doing the best that you can do. And that's what she's doing, averaging almost a double-double this year with constant attention around her. But her maturity, she's seeing things clear. The game has slowed down for her. And not only does it benefit her, but it also benefits her teammates, because they're the beneficiaries of easier opportunities because of the tension that she gets.
Coach, before we move forward, I want to go backwards a second. College basketball has really gotten hit with the latest variant of COVID. When you sent everybody home for the holidays, what was the message and what was the concern? Because we have seen it obviously trickle into the bowl games. We've seen it in the college basketball set. That's got to be a nervous time as a coach, knowing, hey, we're doing everything we can. But when you travel, this variant is so contagious. It's a high wire act, isn't it?
Mark, it's so difficult. And after last year, you know, I think some of us have COVID fatigue. You know, last year it was a little bit different. You know, campuses were empty. We put them in a bubble. We were really able to control a lot. This year, things got somewhat back to normal, you know, where we were kind of looser with the mask variant and everything. And then all of a sudden, Omicron comes along and you're sending the kids home. And they're a little bit fatigued with COVID. And the only thing you can do is you hope and you pray, because it's really unfair to these kids and what they're going through, because we knew college is something different. You know, to be able to go out, these are the best years of your life. You get to enjoy it. And what these kids are going through right now, they should be commended, because, you know, this is not what college is supposed to be. They're supposed to go out, celebrate times with their families, their friends, be carefree, so to speak, while they're learning to grow to be adults. But we're putting all these restrictions on them, and you can't control every aspect of their life. And we sent them home. We talked to them about being careful and, you know, wearing masks with friends and family, which might seem awkward, but, you know, you just never know. And obviously with this new variant, it's so contagious that you never know what's going to happen. So the only thing you can do is just talk to them, educate them, and hope for the best.
Coach, you're right. I can't imagine having this kind of college experience. And I think that's why you saw a lot of these fifth-year seniors come back, someone like Asia Shepherd for you guys, who's back in the fold. And I want to transition to my favorite topic in the world, three-point shooting. You guys are shooting 38% from three. You lead the league in made threes. And I heard through the grapevine that you're not exactly pleased with that number. You feel like you should be shooting a higher percentage. What should this team be shooting from three, Coach?
You know, Kelly, I'm very hands-on with their three-point shooting, so I know each and every one of their shots. And they shoot them at such a high clip that I never think they should miss. And so when Kayla King misses or Asia Shepherd misses, I kind of look at them like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And but that's just how much confidence we have in the group. And, you know, with the volume that we shoot, 38% is really good. But I think that, you know, we can be better. And when we are better, we're going to be a very, very dangerous team to play. But, you know, actually, 38%, there's realistically with the number that we shoot, I think that we could shoot 40 plus 42. And I wouldn't be surprised. And there's going to be a game that we're going to really take off and hit a lot of those shots, especially when people give so much attention to Liz Kittley.
You know, it's funny, Kenny. We talk about the men's game in this league right now where it's Duke and everybody else. I know Virginia Tech played them tough the other night, and I really do like the Hokies on that side. But we're looking for folks to kind of take ownership, right, in the men's side. The ladies' side, man, top to bottom, this league is tough. I mean, we got six teams ranked in the top 25. You're going to bust through this thing. There's no doubt that you're a top 25 team. It's kind of funny how different the men and the women in this league are right now. There are just no easy games in the conference. That's the thing that's so much fun as a fan, but as a coach, it's going to be crazy.
It is crazy, but, you know, it's what you sign up for. You know, this league has gotten better and better each year that I've been in it. So competitive. And obviously, you know, when I got into this league, a lot of the blue bloods were at the top of the list, and we wanted to try to make our mark. And we've done it through recruiting and development. And now we consider ourselves one of the teams to beat in the league. But there are a lot of teams like that. So it's going to make for a very interesting and exciting season for the fans. I might get a little stress throughout the year, but it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, there are a lot of great basketball teams in this league. I'm looking forward to the competition. Our kids are looking forward to the competition. And it's going to be very, very exciting this year. But you're right. You know, our league is so tough from top to bottom. Every game is going to be a battle, and we're going to have to make sure we're ready to play each and every night.
Coach, when you're looking at Duke, you're getting ready for this game. They have looked really good early, didn't play last year, but, you know, have that win over Iowa. They have some young players, a very new roster with Coach Kara Lawson. What are some keys for you guys against Duke?
Well, I think, Kelly, it's going to be a lot about what we do. As you mentioned, they have a brand new team. We've played against, you know, several of the kids, but ironically, they've been on other teams, you know, with Boligan, with Finkley. They played for different teams in our league. But other than that, you know, we played against a couple of their players, but they're a brand new basketball team. We've had a chance to watch them a little bit. We feel like that they're similar to what we do as far as the movements. And, you know, they do a lot of ball handoff screens. They shoot the three extremely well. And they're very, very talented. You know, they're very, very talented. So we're looking forward to the opportunity because we feel they're similar style to what we play. And I think it's going to be a really, really good game. But there's really not a lot of familiarity because we have not played against them as a unit yet.
Have there been surprises for you in this league so far on the ladies' side?
No. You know, and it's funny because you can pick 1 through 7, 1 through 8, and I think you could have scrambled them up any way you wanted to. You know, we were picked, I think, 4th. You know, there's a lot of teams that could have been picked 4th. And it's just going to matter what happens on a day-to-day basis. So it's just a testament to, you know, the coaches in this league, the programs in this league, the players in this league. I think the ACC was a conference that really benefited from the transfer portal. A lot of our teams in our conference got, you know, a lot better. And not just the teams at the top. A lot of teams, you know, that were picked to come at the bottom, they're much better because of the transfer portal. And it's going to make for a very exciting season. So who knows who's going to come in what. It's just going to depend on health protocols and then who's playing well. So it's going to be for a very interesting season.
Kenny, it's interesting you say that because we talked to Jim Larranaga yesterday and we asked him that same question on the men's side. And he thought one of the things that's hurt the men is the transfer portal. And here you are from the women's perspective in the league going, hey, it's been a benefit. Why do you think that is? Is it just one of those coincidental deals that, hey, that's just what it is?
It could be coincidence, but I also think that it's a factor that we get 15 scholarships. So we're able to, you know, maybe take a chance on a kid maybe that the men's program can't because they only get 13 scholarships. So just a different dynamic. There are a lot of recruits who they tend to want to go to the same schools a lot. And, you know, they continue to stockpile and go to the same schools, and which strengthens and bolsters other teams' benches. You know, you see a lot of teams. We're going to play against Duke tomorrow, and their bench is extremely strong. They have a lot of players who can play, and they weren't like that last year, you know, and in 1 year's time, they were able to bolster not only their starting lineup, but their bench. And that's just the way that the portal is happening. And I think it's just more beneficiary in the women's side because you have more scholarships. And at the Power Five level, you know, you're going to be able to get a lot more players.
Coach, your point guard, Georgia Amore, who had a great game against Florida State, is from Australia. And I love the story on social media. I saw that her parents, her family came over for Christmas. She hadn't seen them in, I believe, 2 years because of COVID. Can you tell us more about that story?
Oh, my gosh. I have chills right now as you're talking about the story. You know, she's my little mini-me. You know, she's dynamic. She's going to be one of the better point guards in this league before it's all said and done. And just what she, the energy that she's brought to our team, the confidence that she's brought to our team. And all the while, she's doing it, Kelly, without the comfort of her family. You know, she was supposed to go home last year, but the pandemic hit. She had to stay through. The Kitleys have been absolutely wonderful. They've kind of adopted her. And, you know, when Liz goes home, you know, Georgia goes home. And they almost, they actually even, they argue like sisters sometimes. And you can tell how close they are. But when we were informed that her parents were going to be able to come over, and then they had the reunion, you know, it was such a heart, well, for just, she just lit up. She lit up. And I think it really helped her play because she looked as comfortable and at ease against Florida State that I've seen her all year. And a lot of that, you know, her uneasiness was that she was really just trying to fit in. We had new players here this year. She's just trying to get everybody comfortable. And I told her she's a big part of what we do. Her scoring is a big part of what we do. When she's scoring and shooting the basketball, it's another dynamic that we have that makes us hard to guard. But when her parents were in the stands, able to watch her play, she looked totally different. Looked at ease, looked like she was having fun. Everything just seemed natural to her. And I'm just so glad, so happy that they were able to spend Christmas together. And it was a blessing for us.
That's a great story. Before we let you go, we've been asking a bunch of coaches here the last couple of weeks, and we're putting you on the spot now, Kenny. What would be your walk-up music? What's the song?
It depends on what time of year you're talking about, Mark.
Right. How about tomorrow night at 7? How about 6:55?
That's a hard. Can I go to the summertime?
Whatever you want. It's your show, man.
All right.
Let it rip.
Summertime on the lake. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and mine and her song is "Fancy Like Applebee's." All right, because we are sitting on that lake and we get a little country music going and it's just happy times. So that if you look at my playlist on Apple Music and it says most played recently, that's going to be the song that's been played the most. And that will be a big surprise to a lot of people because I'm transitioning in my older age. It used to be rap, and now it's about happy music.
You know what? That's why this question has been fascinating because until yesterday, we had not had a single reference that was connected. And Brad Brunell brought up, I think, Thunderstruck from AC/DC, which is what Pat Narduzzi picked. But it's been fascinating to listen to what the answers to this question have been because they've been all over the map. And by the way, your new football coach, Brent Pry, we threw this one on him. And he said, man, Allman Brothers, give me a little Midnight Rider. That's what he's going with. So I know it's a big day for football for the Hokies up in the Pinstripe Bowl, but man, keep up the great work, man. It's great. It's always great having you on the show. And, you know, you guys are going to be busting this top 25 before you know it. I have total faith.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a wonderful job. Please tell Wes. Hope he gets well soon.
You got it, Coach. Happy New Year. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Off he goes. I tell you what, it's a good club. You know what? You know, you go through the 6 teams, Kelly, that are ranked in the ACC in the top 25, and Virginia Tech's not one of them, and you realize how good this league is. But that is a team that could get smoking hot. It would not surprise me at all to be a top 15 kind of team heading into the tournament.
No doubt, Pac. And they were ranked earlier in the year. They dropped out. They had 2 non-conference losses, 1 to Tennessee, 1 to Liberty. But overall, the way they can shoot the rock, when your coach says we're shooting 38%, we lead the league in made threes, but it's just not good enough. I mean, we're capable of 42%. It's only a matter of time, I think, for the Hokies. And I also want to know if Coach Brooks knows the TikTok dance to Fancy Like. I would need to inquire about that. I'll get my researchers on it.
I know this much. Anybody that loves threes and no defense, that's right down your alley after your latest episode last week.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, speaking of the theme of women's hoops, we appreciate Kenny Brooks. He's always fun to talk to. All right, Kelly, we know who the stars are in this league when it comes to women's hoops, but there's also a handful that you better keep an eye on. So you're going to help us navigate through this. Where would you like to lead?
All right. So these players, you might not know them necessarily. You might not know the name, but these are players you need to keep an eye on as we head into ACC play. As Pac has said, we've got six teams ranked. Virginia Tech is right there knocking on the door. Could be the seventh soon. So there's a lot of great teams in this league. Every night is going to be tough. Every single night. So let's start. You brought up North Carolina, Syracuse and North Carolina playing on Thursday. Let's talk about their point guard, Deja Kelly. She's only a sophomore. She started last year, took her lumps as a freshman. She played a lot. She started playing really well towards the end of the year. But this year, she has taken her game to a whole new level. Third in scoring, averaging nearly 17 points per game. She is a true scoring point guard. She gets to the free throw line a lot. That's a big part of her game. Hit the game winner against Boston College. North Carolina is still undefeated because of that game winner. She also had what I would refer to as the game sealing steal against BC as well. But the way she's scoring the rock, she's expanded her game. She's shooting the three better. She's getting to the rim and finishing. And she has been great. It was kind of tough for me with UNC. I thought about putting Alyssa Usby on there as well, but I'll stick with Deja Kelly. She's third in the league in scoring, and I don't think many people predicted that. So far, so good for North Carolina, undefeated with Deja Kelly. And then as we keep going, Pac, let's look at Georgia Tech, a team that beat UConn, and people started really paying attention after they beat UConn, but you should have been paying attention a lot earlier. Made the Sweet 16 last year, and it's Lorella Kubai, the heart and soul of this team. She's only averaging 8.5 points per game. Kelly, why is she on this list? 12.6 rebounds per game. That's fourth in the entire country. She's also nearly 5 assists per game. So inside at 6'3", she's fourth in the league in assists. That's unbelievable. She's a triple-double threat on any given night. And she is, I know she's fourth nationally in rebounding, Pack. She may be the best rebounder in the entire country. She has an endless motor. She's going to go get you 10 defensive rebounds a game, probably 5 O boards. She's incredible. So those are my first two to start, Pack. And Kubai is someone you might think, well, Kelly, she's averaging under 10 points per game. Look at those rebounding numbers. That's the difference.
I like her toughness, though, right? I mean, she does not back down to anybody, and there are some good bigs in this league.
100%. All right, the next player I want to talk about is Tisha Hyman from Syracuse. We talked about Syracuse all offseason and just said, what are they going to look like? They have all these transfers. Who knows what's going to happen? Tisha Hyman is someone who is not a transfer. She has been in this program for a couple years, redshirted last year with an injury. Look at these numbers. She's first in the ACC in steals. She's second with 5.3 assists per game. She's averaging over 6 rebounds per game, nearly 15 points per game, had 30 in that huge win over Ohio State that really put Syracuse back in the NCAA tournament discussion. And I just love that in a year of transfers, in Syracuse, they have 4 scorers in the top 20. So their transfers are playing well. But Tisha Hyman is a player who was still there, who stayed through the coaching situation, and she is really getting the benefits of that right now. And then let's talk about Louisville, a team that also beat UConn. Pac, who hasn't beat UConn in the ACC this year? They beat UConn up in Connecticut most recently. Kiana Smith is their leading scorer. Now, Louisville, they're doing it by committee. They have a lot of different players that can hurt you. But Kiana Smith has been the most consistent, nearly 13 points per game. Look at the three-point numbers. It always comes back to the three, Pac. 46% from three. She had 16 points against UConn. She is shooting lights out. She can also get to the rim and hit the mid-range. But when you can shoot 46% from three, you're almost unguardable. So I love what I've seen from Kiana Smith. And then wrapping it up with my fifth player here, it's Olivia Miles, Rec Spec. She wears the goggles. You can't miss her at Notre Dame. The freshman point guard. Look at those numbers. She's leading the entire country in assists, not just the ACC, the world. She's leading globe in assists at 7.8 assists per game. Also 7 boards, nearly 13 points. Back-to-back 20-point games in their last 2 wins over DePaul and Pittsburgh. So she's scoring the ball even better. But the assist numbers are what really stands out. She is a threat to give you 10 assists on any given night. And look at those numbers from Notre Dame. She's the only player in the country averaging 12, 7, and 6. So the Lieberman Award does need to take notice. Those are my 5 to watch. You've got Deja Kelly, Lorella Kubai, Tisha Hyman, Kiana Smith, Olivia Miles. Keep an eye on those 5, Pac.
I like the goggles too, by the way. That's a good look. By the way, you think that's kind of
Oh, I agree.
You think that's kind of a fake out? Because you got to figure, somebody comes out there with the goggles, you're thinking, oh, man, she's not going to score. He's not going to score, whatever the combination may be. And then next thing you know, you're getting schooled. I mean, you're getting schooled on both ends of the floor. Olivia's been rocking and rolling, man. She's been putting up crazy numbers, like you said.
Well, I know she really needs them because she does wear glasses, so it's not like it's a fake out. But look, it's a unique thing. You look at some of these college athletes, and you can recognize them by one trait. A former Notre Dame point guard in Skylar Diggins, she had the headband. Everyone knew her by the headband. This is going to be Olivia Miles' thing. I can't wait until we get a cool new company that's going to be making rec specs, and Olivia Miles can represent them with NIL.
I like that. By the way, you know, I'm asked Kenny Brooks, are there any surprises? I'm going to ask you that question. Like a team like Syracuse, given all the unrest which took place in the offseason, I've been kind of surprised how well they've played early so far. So I'm going to throw you on the spot here. Any surprises? We know how good the league is at the top.
Oh, yeah, I have quite a few surprises.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, I think Duke is a surprise just because we had no idea what they were going to look like, and they blew out Iowa on their home floor, so Duke's been a surprise. I would say Syracuse has without a doubt been a surprise. They have brought in all these transfers, and they started the season and did not look great, but they've played a lot better lately. Pittsburgh has been a pleasant surprise. They had the best non-conference that they've had in years, so we'll see what they can do in ACC play. And North Carolina is still being undefeated. I didn't think they'd be undefeated all the way through their non-conference. So we've had quite a few surprises. But this league, as you mentioned, Pac, just so strong, so tough. I cannot wait to watch it unfold and who's going to rise up.
I have found the contrast between the men and the women this year to be as stark as I can ever remember. I mean, the women are just rock solid, so many good teams, so deep. And the men's side is just loaded with question marks. And a lot of times it's been completely the exact opposite, especially on the men's side. I mean, we're so used to seeing five or six ACC men's teams in the top 25. We've got one. And again, Duke is really, really good, could win the whole thing. And you kind of wonder who's going to emerge in January and February. For the ladies, man, every night that we have games, it's ranked versus ranked. It's just an absolute fistfight to see what's going to happen on the ladies' side. And as Kenny Brooks said, man, yeah, grab your popcorn because the ladies, I'm telling you, every night these games are entertaining and fun.
And I liked his point about the portal in that the women have more scholarships. That was something I hadn't really heard, but that makes a lot of sense. And then I think the other part of this, Pack, if we're looking over the last 5 years and how things have changed, the teams that the ACC brought in on the women's side from the Big East have lived up to what they're supposed to do, and maybe even more so. Yep. Louisville, Notre Dame, Syracuse, and Pittsburgh, all four of those teams have been really good additions on the women's side. On the men's side, it's been a little more inconsistent. So that's one of the big differences that I've seen so far back. And then you still have the Blue Bloods, especially the three women's teams in the Triangle right now, are playing really well too.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.